Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Eric Andre, and welcome to my new podcast, Bombing, where I talk with friends, comedians, musicians, and other creative people about their worst moments on stage and being annihilated by a live audience. Today, I have my good friend, the incredibly talented Michelle Buteau. You may know her stand-up, and you've seen her all over TV and movies. We go way back, years and years, and we talk about our stand-up touring days together and get into crazy stories she's encountered overseas and in the Great Plains of the U.S. of A. If you like this episode, come back every week for more. Rate it 5 stars. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, you can subscribe to Big Money Players Diamond to get an extended interview with Michelle, plus ad-free episodes every week. Let's get into it.
Bombing
with Eric Andre.
We are here with the wickedly talented one and only, the yin to my yang, dare I say.
Oh my God.
The tomato to my tomato.
Probably my oldest friend in comedy, my sister from another mister,
ow,
Michelle Buteau.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Abu Nazir.
Abu Nazir. Adele Dazim.
Oh my God. We've known each other a long time.
20 years.
More.
I think 20 years. Well, this podcast is about bombing, so I'm going to ask you, I'll just give you a little setup.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you, like, what's the worst bomb that you ever experienced?
Okay.
What's the worst bomb that you ever seen that you were just, like, there to witness?
Ooh.
And, like, what's the most wasted you've ever been on stage? So those are kind of, like, the three questions.
Oh, my God.
But before we get into that.
What decade?
We can, any decade. Let's start with, like, our tried and true story.
Okay. Oh, no! Okay. I knew it was coming!
One time, me and Michelle were playing a college. Played this college, and they don't put you in the auditorium when you're, like, unknown. They put you in the cafeteria.
Yeah.
In the middle of the cafeteria while the kids are ordering chicken wings and shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Michelle and I had to do this show. So it was a scarcely packed show in a campus cafeteria. People are literally ordering chicken nuggets next to us as we're trying to tell jokes.
Yeah.
There's no context for us. Me and Michelle haven't been on television at this point. We're like in our what, early, mid-20s?
Something like that.
And it's scarcely packed. I'm doing horribly. I mean, like, the odds are stacked against me, but I'm not doing well. And these girls are making fun of me in the audience, and I end my set by looking at, like, the 9 people peppered throughout this cafeteria that were not paying attention. I went, "You guys are the worst fucking audience I have ever performed in front of in my entire life." And I threw the mic down. I was an angry, yeah, this is before I went to therapy. I just was so frustrated. threw the microphone down. Yeah. But then I completely forgot I had to bring Michelle up next do her set. I picked the microphone back up off the ground and I was like, you've seen her on VH1 and Comedy Central. Please get up for Michelle.
And
I vividly remember you coming on stage and looking at me like this and you were like, do you need a hug? And I was like, no, back off me. And I went backstage.
So wild.
And I kicked the garbage can over and like coffee flew everywhere.
So wild. So like, not only is it like you bombing, then like I have to live in that bomb as well.
Yeah, you have to pick
up
the pieces.
Yes, I'm the peripheral. So I'm like the Ukraine in this situation where I'm just like, why am I getting bombed? Like it was too soon. I'm so sorry. Thoughts and prayers. But I was like, this is wild. You are not Chris Rock. We are in somewhere in Pennsylvania. Was it Pittsburgh?
Yeah, it was always like possum fuck Arkansas or like
it was always seven planes away. But I should.
Flights to get there.
Yes, I should also. And then like we had to like.
I think they lost my luggage on the way there and I started crying. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
They lost my little carry-on. I was like, Michelle, they lost my carry-on.
You're
like,
what's so the big deal?
I was like, I only have one hoodie.
I know. I have seen you cry.
You owed me like $30 or something. I was like, I need that $30.
Oh my God. You hit me up in the middle of a breakfast sandwich at the airport, at a dusty airport like in Arizona. And you're like, oh, I don't mean to bring this up, but you haven't paid me back. I'm like, because I haven't gotten paid back. I'm like, I'll write you a check. I didn't realize how broke you were. I'm so sorry.
I was broke.
I'm so sorry.
Like that. $30 would have been like breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Oh my God. Okay, I have the $30. I will pay you back.
Thank you.
I think it's also important to tell the people. We met in New York. We did stand up. And then we did a diversity showcase for NBC.
Right.
Showcases are just a show where like a bunch of agents and managers go. And then you just sort of tap dance and be like, look, we have a black one. Right. We have a light-skinned one. We have an Asian one. We have a gay one. And like, because there was like no diversity in Hollywood, like even the needle has moved like tremendously just in the last 5 years. Yeah. So like, you know, when we started 20 years ago, there was no non-binary royalty. There was none of this was in the vocabulary. There was no conversation. It was literally like I checked two boxes because I am black and female. And so when we were friends and we did the showcase and people were like, they're cute, we don't want to pay full price for one, let's just put them in a little package deal together. We were a package deal and everyone thought we were brother and sister. But there was no guitar, there was no singing, we never said we were brother and sister. We just both happened to be half Haitian and they're like, they're related, they're light-skinned enough to like send to the Midwest,
Schenectady,
and the South.
Yep.
I mean, I remember we went to some place in Louisiana. It wasn't New Orleans. It was another place, Shreveport, I think. And you have this really epic hurricane joke. This was after Hurricane Katrina.
And they just got rocked by the hurricane.
Yeah.
Right?
You? And you did the joke. And you're like, what the fuck, people? That's a great joke. And then you were yelling at them.
Oh, no.
And then, like, it took, like, I had to go on stage and do the thing. And then we had a conversation. But it's like, those learning lessons, that's an education you could never get at a fucking school.
I will say there's a coda to the end of that story where I kicked the garbage can over in that cafeteria. Those girls that were making fun of me the most flirted with me after the fucking thing. I was like, you're flirting with me. You were talking shit about me the whole time. They were like, we're joking around.
It's like they were pulling your hair on at the playground.
Playground flirting.
Yeah. Terrible.
20 years
wigs.
Later, that woman is still my wife. The love of my life.
And I remember that night too, because we had headshots that we were signing, because I was like, someone went to Kinko's with a budget and you drew a mustache on my face. And
you didn't like that.
I was so offended.
Yeah, you didn't like that.
I hated that.
Of all the things that you would be offended by, that was the one that got
that
you?
That was the straw that broke the camel toe. Do you know what I mean? Like,
your trigger? We say foul shit to each other all day, and cartoon mustache. It's like a fifth grader from the 80s would like do that.
Well,
shit.
Like, I think I had, I reached my max with, like, being with you on that trip, because...
That was difficult.
Like, you were.
That was difficult.
It was a testing time.
That was a pre-therapied. I was pre-therapized. Man.
Yeah.
Those were hard, though. You take like AirTran middle seat, three flights to fucking Coyote Bladder, Mississippi.
Yes.
The shows were always miserable. The pay was miserable.
Yeah. You're like, why am I doing this?
Survive. You're like, yes. So why am I doing this?
Most
this
is of not our pay went to out. Travel. We couldn't even afford to go to, I think, Idaho. We had to borrow money from our college agent to go because we couldn't afford to go.
Yeah. So, and like when you're starting out, nothing's guaranteed. You don't know if you're going to have a career at all. You think, you know, so it's a grind. The first like decade of comedy. It's a fucking grind.
Yeah. When people ask me, how do I make money? How do I do this? How do I get on that? I'm like, just keep your head down and stay funny. Yeah. Be funny. Yeah. You know, I feel like there is a generation of comedians where it's cool not to be funny, like not to have jokes. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's kind of your job, boo-boo. Mm-hmm. Take some really difficult shit and make it funny. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Make me think about it.
Yeah.
It's a lot of medicine. I need some motherfucking sugar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I feel you. So there's another time me and Michelle, we were like super late to this gig in Virginia.
Oh my God, are you really doing this? This is disgusting. I need to shower right away. Do you have a wet wipe, producer? Oh, God.
So we're late to the show. And
we're late
stuck
to the show because you had an audition for Joe Coy's sketch show for Comedy Central.
That's right. Because you were, botched the audition, too.
But you were already like starting to do things. Like, you know.
I botched that audition because I kept being like, I'm so high right now as a joke. And I think they thought I was actually high. So we're in this car. We're driving from New York to Virginia. We are hauling ass. We get stuck in horrible traffic.
Yeah.
And like Michelle's driving. She's like, every second count. I was like, I got to pee so bad. She's like, no way. We can't. We're going to miss the show.
There is no worse feeling than knowing that you're going to be late for a show and people are waiting for you.
Yeah.
It's like missing your prom. I don't know how to describe it.
Yeah. So
I was anxious as fuck.
So I'm looking at the big gulp in the console next to Michelle, and I'm like, that's my toilet right there. I was like, Michelle, I'm going to pee in this thing. Can I pee in it? If you're not going to let me pee, I'm going to explode. And you're like, yeah, all right. And then so I dumped the soda that was in it.
You go in the back seat. You were in the passenger seat. Let's be clear. He goes in the back seat. I don't want any part of this, okay? We were stuck in so much traffic. I was like, you can get out, go pee on a bush, and come back in and find the car. Because there was so much traffic. You know, like, every movie that has, like, an apocalyptic, like, oh, no, we got to get out of this town?
Yeah.
With, like, the traffic. Like, that's what that traffic was
that
like.
Traffic was
we
horrible.
Weren't moving.
No, it was crazy.
So I was like, get out the car. And you're like, no.
And you're like, getting like re-triggered about you're right. Oh, sorry.
No, truly, no. We have been through so much fucking mess by the time I met my husband.
It's
this is easy. I have been like almost best friend, brother, sister with Eric Andre on the road before therapy. The marriage is nothing. This is crazy. Are you fucking kidding me? They're like, wow, you guys really like each other. I'm like, yeah, because he pees before we leave the fucking house. What do you mean? You really set me up for success, bro.
Oh, shit. Okay, so I'm in the back seat apparently with a big gulp cup and I'm filling it up with my pee.
No. Let's back it up, Eric. He surprised himself by what was coming out of his body. And as it's a big gulp, as it's the pee is
about
like,
to overflow.
It's about
it?
To overflow and you start freaking out.
Like, oh fuck, I'm about to overflow.
Like,
I can't stop the stream.
I don't have a penis. I don't pee in cups. In vaccines, bitch. Why would I know? And I was just like, bring an adult diaper. I don't know. You know, like I bleed once a month, my uterus is on the floor, and I still show up on time with a smile. Figure out your fucking intake, bro. It was insane. You're like, what do I do? What do I do? The pee's coming. Also, it's your own pee. Like, it was wild.
I was going through a lot. So I'm filling up a big cup with pee. The pee's like, pee flicks are like splashing out.
It's too
and I'm
much.
Like, oh, and then I cut the stream off and I like dump some out and I keep going.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, and then I fill up the pee. And so I'm like, and then I just, instead of dumping it out, I just have like a full big gulp of my own urine next to Michelle in the little middle console.
Why
and she's
do you put it?
She's driving, and I just break into casual conversation as if none of that just happened. I was like, "Hey, so what are you going to open your set with?" And Michelle's like white knuckling it. She's like, "My set, I don't really know what I want to." And I'm like, "What is going on with you?" You're like, "It's just your pee is in a cup, and it's like 3 inches from my elbow, and I'm driving, and I don't want to smell your pee, I don't want to see your pee,
your
I don't want to feel your pee."
Everyone's pee smells, and that should be a children's
disgusting.
Book.
Yes. It's disgusting. Yes. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Oh, you're upset about the pee." And you're like, "What else would I be upset
How
about?"
Did you have no idea. Your urine is right there.
Solution like, around with every
mad scientist with organs in jars. What do you mean?
And then I was like, "Well, you want me to dump it out the window?" And you were like, "I don't know.
I don't have answers for your
piss." You're like
piss.
Swallowing involuntarily, like having a panic attack. You're like, "I don't." And I'm like, "I'm going to dump it out the window." You're like, "Don't get it on the car. I just don't want anybody see you. I know. And then I was just like, splash, dumped it out.
It was so gross, honestly, because like, I couldn't breathe. Because I could feel it in my nose, and if I open my mouth, then I taste it. And I don't want any part of that. And I really want to be like, "Did you have asparagus?" Because all of it was so fucking yuck.
It's like rope. It was like yellow ropes going out of
my It was dick. So yuck. You it know, when like you have guy friends, you think you're going to go use their bathroom and see a skid mark. You know what I mean? Or like a dirty condom. No, not with Eric. Now it's way more intimate.
I had dank piss. Dank yellow, dark yellow piss. I want to tell one story.
Oh my God.
Okay, wait. We're not done with the pee-pee story. So I dump the pee out. We get to the gig.
Oh my God.
And then Michelle goes, "I got this new joke. It's a fucking banger, dog."
Oh, fuck.
And then she gets on stage and she goes, "Yo, y'all ever be running and you just running?" And then she completely forgets the joke. She's
I forgot
like,
the joke.
"You're just running."
I forgot the joke. Listen, you don't understand. You don't understand, okay? There's so much that happens before you get on stage, and the only thing you want to do is show up and be cute like Beyonce. You know what I mean? At Coachella. But like, we didn't even know Beyonce went through all that until she made a documentary. There is so much shit you have to do. And when you're sitting next to your friend's piss, there are levels of emotions. You know what I mean? It's a whole, it's an onion. That was a crazy gig because I do think that brought us closer. Mm-hmm. We had to leave very early.
We drove through the mist.
We drove through the night.
Because I had to do a Pepsi commercial the next day.
Yeah, you were starting to blow up.
It kind of. I mean,
no, like people, commercial. You had an audition, a show in Virginia, and then like a commercial the next day.
Gosh, it
for
takes such
a newbie
a
comedian,
time.
That's like a really big deal. Mm-hmm. So I was like, "Bet, let's go."
Yeah.
Like, talk about ride or die. I was like, "Yeah, let's just go sleep for an hour or two."
Yeah. Then we drove back through the misty, misty fog.
Yeah, but what you don't know, which I don't think I told you, I took the biggest dump when I got
I
to the hotel.
I didn't expect me to say
I was
that.
Holding in so many things.
It was a stress shit?
Oh my God. It was like every season of The Amazing Race came out in that toilet, and I was like, "What the fuck?" And I clogged the toilet up, and then it started overflowing.
Oh, no.
And I just like closed the door and left it, and like slept because I was like, "I don't even know what to do with this day anymore. I don't even know what this day is."
It was one of those days.
Like, am I worthy? Am I doing the right thing?
It was a cursed day.
It was a cursed fucking day.
Yeah.
And then we got back in the car while it was still dark to make it back. And let me tell you something. The way Eric was driving, if you're an atheist, you would have been religious.
Well, I was driving crazy.
You were driving crazy.
And through fog.
And through fog.
And then we came up on like a nightmare 20-car pile of accidents where there's definitely like fatalities.
100.
And you were like, half asleep. And I was like, it's okay. Go back to sleep. You're like, the cars. I was like, it's okay. And hills you're bad at. Anytime you drove by a hill, show will go, you're driving by a hill.
Yeah.
The two of us, we were like.
Yeah. I have anxiety.
Hillophobia.
And I also have panic attacks, and with hills, and I have vertigo. I'm real fun, guys. And when I go up and down a hill, I have like this tunnel vision where I don't know if I'm going up or down.
Oh shit!
So I don't know if I go slow or go fast.
Oh shit! I feel bad, roasting. You know?
Yeah, you should, bitch. I'm going through some major shit. I'm trying to hold it together like I'm Stacey Abrams, bitch. On January 7th, motherfucker. I'm trying, bitch. Okay, if you really knew. Meanwhile, this motherfucker's like, "What do I do with my pee-pee? Do you know what I'm going through? Do you
got vertigo. You got panic disorder.
I couldn't remember my fucking jokes. I'm just like, this is so.
You clog in the toilet.
I'm like, I got this great joke. I don't remember it. It was wild.
With Eric Andre.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Eric Andre.
We're gonna get to the bombing story, but this was like a really crazy story that not a lot of comedians either go through or talk about.
Yeah,
there was this festival named the Aspen Comedy Festival. It takes place in Aspen, and
you're talking about when we almost died on that air propeller plane.
Yeah. So when you go to Aspen, you got to fly into Denver and then take a little small plane, a la Bomba.
Yeah, like a Fisher Price propeller plane.
Yes, and we get on the plane. There's some weather. Like, it was already delayed. We're very excited and tired to just fucking go.
Kyle Kinane's on the plane as well.
Kyle Kinane is next to me.
Okay.
And hilarious comedian. The turbulence is so bad that there was a moment where I thought we were going to die. And I'm like, this is how it goes. And I know that you're an atheist. I look back at you, you're making the sign of the cross.
No, I was I became religious. I was religious for however long that plane ride was.
Yeah. And it was... We were in a dryer. We were like in a tumble dryer because what happens is it's a valley and there's crosswinds and it's impossible to land because the plane is going left and right and can't fucking find its way. And you always look to the flight attendant to see if you know, if they ain't but they look like they were like...
They look stressed.
They did.
Mm-hmm.
And then like it was like bumpy and Kyle Kinane took my hand and he goes, we're going to be okay. And I... took his hand with both my hands and I'm like, I really hope so.
Wow.
And we couldn't land the plane, so they had to get us out of it.
Yeah. It was all for nothing. It was like flying, they were trying to fly into this blizzard. They tried once, too turbulent. Tried twice, too turbulent. Tried three times. So we had to go through that hell three times.
Yeah.
And then they just gave up. It was like all for nothing.
Yeah.
And they just took us back to Denver.
Yeah.
And me, you, and Eric Charles Nielsen had to take a bus with all the other comics through icy, sleety snow. And that's dangerous too. I know.
Yeah, we were going
I have a friend
like,
in a band whose tour bus crashed on those mountains in Vail. Yeah, because it was so icy and shit. Yeah.
I don't know why we got to call it black ice, but it is what it is. Come on, Comic View. But Monique's gonna be so mad I took her joke.
Why they ain't no white ice. So what is the worst you have ever bombed?
I mean, there's been a few bombs, right? There's just been a few. You're working on material, the crowd doesn't get you. I want to say the worst for me, it was a comedy show, but it wasn't a comedy club. It's the first and last time I ever did stand up in Jamaica.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How was that?
I thought I was like, I thought I had enough. You know, it's like the 5-year-old that's had 2 lessons and they can swim. I was like, I've been doing comedy for 8 years. Will Sylvince was hosting.
Oh, boy.
Also a really hilarious comedian that does a lot in the Caribbean, as well as a comedy seller. Check him out. And
was he doing okay?
He was killing because he like he's got that on lock.
Yeah.
And so they were so warm and so like ready to laugh.
Yeah. I got to text Will. I got to call him.
Yeah.
I miss Will.
He's great.
I love Will.
He's the best.
The best.
And he started boxing and it's just like
yeah.
all like ripped and stuff.
Yeah.
Like every time I see him, there's always an excuse for him to lift a shirt. I'm like, why wear a shirt? Just be topless.
So he's on stage. He's doing well.
He's on stage. He's like murdering.
Oh shit.
Like murdering.
Even
like
worse.
This is his bag. He's yeah. in his zone.
Yeah.
And you know, my mom is Jamaican. I've been to Jamaica every year since I was 3 weeks old. So I feel like, you know, I'm family. Yeah, I'm born and raised in Jersey, you know. But you feel more Jamaican in Jersey than you do in Jamaica.
Did he have Jamaican jokes? Because he's Haitian. Was he doing Haitian jokes or was he doing Haitian jokes and Jamaican jokes?
He can
jokes?
Do Caribbean accents. So,
oh,
he
so he's doing Jamaican.
Yes.
Very specific.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like I pride myself on being able to do my material anywhere for anyone because comedy should be universal.
No, it's not. It's
but
cultural.
It's, not.
It's like the least universal thing.
Picture Showtime at the Apollo.
Right.
But with machetes and guns.
Right.
Outside, with like you know, the jerk chicken is you know jerking.
Yeah.
The women look like dance hall queens. Just yeah. picture.
And I love my Jamaican people, but they can be emotional, emotionally.
Yeah,
emotional.
That's one way of putting it.
the highs are highs. The
yeah.
lows are lows.
And there's just a lot of like absolutes in Jamaica. Well, I get on stage and I haven't had the shaky hands in a while.
Oh, you were nervous.
So I was nervous. I was like, oh, I'm in over my head.
Uh-huh.
And it felt like what do you do when you know you're going to bomb? You just lean into it, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then it's just like, if anything, I'm going to deliver these lines with like the confidence of Steve Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
That's all you can do. What else can you do?
You like, I can't leave.
Yeah.
They've flown me down there and put me up. And now this is like, my mom feels like I've made it because now I'm doing comedy in her motherland.
Right. What town was this? Negril?
This was Kingston.
Kingston. Okay.
I've invited some friends that I knew from back in the day.
No.
They're so happy for me because this little comedy thing's working out.
That makes it worse.
Also, my uncle's the Archbishop of Jamaica.
Whoa.
So it's been in like the Gleaner.
A lot of pressure on this Jamaica show.
I was like, I'm not hosting the Golden Globes. I'm just doing a set in Kingston.
So a lot of pressure on the show.
A lot of pressure on
the show. Will's crushing. You get up there, you get the shaky hands.
I get the shaky hands. I also realize like people are dressed up. Like, I dressed up, but, like, a Caribbean dress-up is just different.
Yeah.
Like, people have gone shopping for
people
an outfit.
People went shopping. They got a babysitter. Like, a production went into this
yeah.
night for them, for
yes.
the audience.
And not me.
They paid their money.
And...
Two-drink minimum.
I don't even remember all of my material. There was a joke about sex where I'm just like, ladies, if a guy's not going down on you, you don't go down on him because you can't have the 6 without the 9. And that's when I heard the booze. And then the booze didn't stop.
Uh-oh.
And then I heard a gunshot.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, thank you so much. MichelleButeau.com. And
you're playing with fire.
Yeah, I was. I was. But I was like, this is what I say. This is what I want to say.
Yeah.
And even if it helps one person
yeah.
at this point,
yeah.
it is what it is.
Yeah.
And so my mom got phone calls. My uncle got phone calls.
Whoa.
There was like articles about it in Jamaica.
Oh, no, it haunted you.
Yeah, it followed me. And to this day, people are like, do you want to come to Aruba and do comedy? I'm like, no.
No. No.
Do you want to come to Puerto Rico for this thing to do? I was like, no. I just want my titties out and I want some spicy chicken. That's it.
Oh, yeah. I'll go to Aruba.
Yeah.
But not to do comedy.
100.
I'll drink a rum out of a coconut. You got
Ooh, okay.
With Eric Andre.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Eric Andre.
There's been bombing situations where people have thrown a glass at me.
Really?
Yeah, at like Caroline's. What? It was Wendy Williams.
No way.
The Wendy Williams experience.
The worst bombing I ever had was a Wendy Williams experience. Yeah. But who threw a bottle at you?
There was the Wendy Williams experience at Caroline's, and the comic before me, don't remember who that was making fun of this girl, and it was a guy's girlfriend, and he was like in on it too, and she felt really bad, and I saw it in her face. So I got up there and I'm just like, you are so lucky that somebody wants to sit and spin on your tiny little dick. Why the fuck would you do that? And why are you with someone that does that to you? Yeah, I turned into like a fucking disgruntled Ricky Lake audience member, because you cannot see something and not say something, especially if you're going to ultimately be a truth teller on stage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm just like, sometimes it just takes a fucking stranger to see something that you're living in, because you're just in the cloud of smoke. And I'm like, you might be in the eye of the storm, but get the fuck out. Drop that zero. Get yourself a hero. I'm telling you,
wow.
It was very Jenny Jones.
And he's just like, bottle?
He did the whole fuck you fat, nobody wants to fuck you, don't worry about my fat, don't worry about who wants to fuck me. Okay,
shit.
Yeah. And so we got into a yelling argument, and
shit.
You can tell when someone's going through abuse.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, you don't need him. I don't know if anyone else is going to tell you what you don't. Other sisters were clapping. He threw a glass at me.
It
smashed
Lord.
On the table in
oh
front of me.
Lord.
And I'm like, okay, here's one joke. I told the joke and I left.
Yeah.
It was like, ever find a little piece of toilet paper? Just
yeah,
kidding.
Yeah.
But like, I left, and then they had to escort me out the back because he was like waiting for me.
No.
Yes. Yeah.
Dude.
So comedy
twice
is like,
for help.
Yeah. When it goes well, people are like, you're so brave. No, that's not the brave part.
That's not the brave part.
That's not the brave part. Yes.
I'll tell you what got me to the fucking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's the worst bomb you ever like just saw? Like a night.
Besides you?
Besides me. Yeah. Yeah. Besides
in,
me.
I mean.
Was there any just been like any fights you've seen on stage, or any like crazy, someone got naked, or like
oh
a drunk
God.
Guy got kicked out, or.
Oh my, well, there was this.
You could think about it too. We could circle back to it.
No, I know what it is.
Okay.
Michael Che.
Oh, really?
It was, but Michael definitely did not think he bombed. he thinks that he, like, saved the integrity of comedy. Okay?
What did he do?
Michael?
I think Che kind of likes bombing a little bit. He's like Norm MacDonald or Kevin Barnett. I feel like those guys, like, kind of liked it.
Oh, Michael. Michael, Sherry Shepherd, and I did a gig for, like, Procter and Gamble.
Procter,
yeah. I don't even remember.
Yep.
And, like, we had to write all these jokes that they, like, just combed over, right? It was like, dude, they just like took the air out of comedy.
Right.
And my big closer was just like, boy bands are like deodorant, like one has you, one slips. I don't even, or I like my men, like I like my deodorant, like strong, white, and reliable. Whatever the fuck, hackety hack, paid my mortgage that night with that show.
Make that money.
Sherry was into it too. We all follow the rules.
Right.
Michael gets up there.
He's a rule breaker.
And no one's a Karen, but they're definitely Karen adjacent. Like, they got the Karens in the family. Yeah, but I was like, oh. He told a story about how he went to Arizona and the lady in the front called him a nigga.
No way.
And he probably said nigga like 27 times.
At this, like, corporate event?
Yes! I mean, the ties were loosening. I could see, like, holes just popping in people's pantyhose. Like, their eyes were bulging. The shoulder pads were just deflating. I said, oh, no, now. Oh, no, now.
Is he just one of those comics, if you tell him not to do it, that's all they want to do?
Yes. Kind
of
thing?
Yeah. Which, I love him. I mean,
yeah, which I love him, and I appreciate it, too, because I'm just like, okay. Okay. And I don't think I've done a corporate gig since, because I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to live my truth.
What's the most wasted you've ever been on stage?
Oh, my God.
Have you ever been really drunk on stage or high or like what?
Yeah. I started day drinking this one Saturday with some Dutch friends.
Knowing you had a show later.
Yeah.
But you were just like, fine.
It was just supposed to be like an afternoon hang with cheese, crackers, and wine.
Mm-hmm.
And then we took it to the bar across the way. And then there was like pizza and like cocktails.
Sounds like a good day to me.
And Heis was like, please don't go to the show. Call and cancel.
Heis is her husband.
And I'm like, no, babe. I'm such a workhorse. I'm such like, I'm like, no, I'm going to
like
do it.
You're drunk. You're like, I got to do it. Sweating.
And our friend Case is just like, she should do it because he loves to stir the pot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I'm going to do it. You can't tell me what to do because I'm drunk. And he's like, babe, please just call. It's just a 15-minute spot for like a 9 o'clock show or some shit. Yeah. Please don't go. And I'm like, fine, I won't go. Wink, wink. And so Heis goes to the bathroom.
You sneak out?
And like, Case is like, I'll call us a car. Let's go to the show. And I'm like, let's go. We're in the backseat of the taxi. I am like Denzel Washington in like The Pilot. What's that? Airplane?
Oh, yeah. Flight.
Flight. And like, Case is like John Goodman. He gives me a bump. I'm like, I'm ready to go. Let's do it. Like, I am slurring my words, not even realizing. I am a mess. We take the taxi to the city. People get to the comedy club. They're holding me up. And they're like, I don't even know what I'm saying. I need subtitles. I'm just like moving my mouth. And I just remember the booker saying, is she okay? Can she do this? And then I go, I can. Don't tell me what I can't do.
Oh, and so you were surly.
So
salty.
The host brings me up. And then it's like autopilot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I was like Tony Bennett on his 96th birthday.
Just, oh, you were crushing it?
I don't know. I think so. I did some crowd work, I think. And I walked off the stage and didn't fall. I had to call the comedy club 2 days later and apologize. Tell him I told him I got new medication and I really had to figure it out. Heis and Case and I still talk about that story because Heis is like, how fucking dare you? I try to tell you. He tried to see me. The most drunk.
I remember one time you were at the Village Lantern and you were on stage and one of your teeth flew out of your mouth.
Yeah, it's been a journey. So I have a book called Survival of the Thickest, Plus Size Essays in a Small Minded World. Ow. And there is a whole ass chapter about my tooth and it's called Tooth Be Told. There's a chapter about my tooth. It's, you know, growing up in America, you know, health insurance is a luxury.
Yeah.
So you don't always take care of your shit and or the doctor's going to take advantage of you. So.
Yeah, but it's not like you didn't brush your teeth.
No. I just, it's...
You had a genetic gum
Most
thing.
Of that stuff is DNA, yes.
Yeah.
And so...
Don't be so hard on
I had
yourself.
A flipper. Well, I mean...
It was just funny that I was on stage yes. and one of your teeth went flying.
Well, here's the thing.
I was like,
this is how much I love
soon?
Comedy. I have like a flipper. My gum is resting from like a surgery I just had, but I'm still going to go out and do stand-up. And then I'm doing a joke and my tooth flies out. And who's at the back of the show? Fucking Eric. And you know what? You have a memory for shady shit like an elephant. And every time something bad happens, this motherfucker, he won't remember the good. He won't remember the good shit. He's going to remember that one time you slipped on the banana peel and remind you and then introduce you. That's your intro. Oh, my God. Meet my friend Michelle. She lost her tooth on stage one time. Anyways, that's it. Yes, that's it.
Michelle Buteau, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much.
Eric Gonzalez, E. Gonzalez, Conchita Samuel,
L. Jackson, Johnson,
Andre. Good night.
With Eric Andre.
Bombing with Eric Andre is brought to you by Will Ferrell's Big Money Players Network and iHeart Podcast. Executive produced by Han Sani and Olivia Aguilar. Edited and sound designed by Andy Harris. Our art is by Dylan Vanderberg. And if you want to confess to your own bombing moments or give us a shout out, go rate us 5 stars and drop a review on your podcast app of choice. Write about your own stories of bombing at life. If you're on Apple Podcasts, you can also subscribe to Big Money Players Diamond to get exclusive bonus content with every episode. I listen to all my episodes ad-free. The guests on Bombing with Eric Andre were recorded before the SAG-AFTRA strike, so leave me alone, Internet. Bye!
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.